You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. Eric, thanks for being with us. Things turned a little different today. Can you tell me about the short-term forecast here?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. 7-10 days ago, we were in the 80s. And of course, the whole pattern broke down and things have shifted. And now we keep featuring these cold fronts coming out of Canada, taking that stored cold air out of Western Canada and bringing it through the Great Plains and here into Illinois. So we've got a pretty big change in the overall pattern. And it's good because the previous pattern we were locked into, which is one where we had a deep trough out west and a big ridge over the southeast, brought all of that precipitation from Texas all the way to Wisconsin. And I just looked at some data recently. And if you look over the last 45 days from Texas to Wisconsin, some of those locations got half of their yearly rainfall in the last 45 days. But some places in Texas getting more than a year's worth of rainfall in that time period. Well, what's happened is everything has shifted. And now we've gotten ourselves into a pattern. Well, today we're going to be seeing some widely scattered showers moving across Illinois. And then what we're watching for the next 24 to 36 hours is another big push of cold air sweeping out of the northern plains across our state. So Saturday's going to be a bit raw. We're going to have some strong northwest winds coming through the state, at times maybe gusting up to 40 miles an hour. And it's just going to be windy and raw. And we're going to keep seeing these systems roll through. We're now into a pattern that's going to be a lot more active in terms of getting trough ridge, and rather than getting blocked up. And so we're watching another system midweek next week that will be emerging out of Texas again. So I'm just trying to tell you, the pattern's back to being active rather than being blocked up. And this is pretty typical of fall weather. But if I had to put a number on it, I would tell you that at least over the next 15 days, because how quickly the systems are moving through, much of the state of Illinois, in fact, most of the Corn Belt, will be seeing drier than average conditions. We'll still get some precipitation, but overall drier than the climatological average. So it's active right now.
This is despite the fact that we'll have what, on average, how many patterns a week?
You know, it's when we get into this time of year, it's usually about one a week, maybe one or two a week. So that's normal fall, winter, and early spring weather for us. So we've certainly unblocked things and we're letting the jet stream move through.
What do you see in South America?
Well, interesting thing about this year compared to last year was, remember, we were talking about a delay in the planting last year simply due to the fact that the monsoon hadn't really gotten going. And therefore, we need that moisture to get into the soil so that the soybean plant can germinate. Well, this year, things have been quite wet. In fact, over the next 15 days or so, we're seeing eastern growing regions of Brazil even being wet. And that's usually the last place that the monsoonal flow gets into. So Brazil's off to a pretty good start. We know that they have bigger acreage this year. And if they've got a good start to their crop, that means that soybeans, that'll be good for them. But this also means that the safrinha or second crop will also be probably planted on time. Now, we look longer term. I think when you think about South America, because of the weak developing El Nino in the Pacific, there is the risk for some drier conditions in Brazil's northern growing regions. But generally, when there's an El Nino of any strength, Argentina tends to be wetter than average. And we're starting to see that in some of our longer term models. So I think it's going to be a year that we're going to have to watch for Brazil to possibly have a very big productive year, maybe like CONAB is suggesting 120 million metric ton. But Argentina will also be much better than they were a year ago as well, thanks to the El Nino that's going on in the Pacific.
I have two more questions. They're both about North America. Do you have a quick look into our winter forecast?
I do. That same El Nino we've been discussing is one of our, you know, early season or preseason kind of predictors. And what we're seeing right now is that particular pattern of ocean temperatures in the Pacific historically has led to warmer conditions in the western United States, also drier conditions in the western United States, with a much more active eastern U.S. storm track. Now, here's the problem. If it does favor that pattern throughout much of winter, this could give us a bit of a drier winter here in the Midwest and Great Plains. Now, remember, we're looking at, you know, December, January, February, all averaged together. We will certainly still have, you know, normal winter weather racing across this part of the country. But if you just kind of had pinned me down and say, all right, what's it look like? I'd say that we have this particular winter risks for being closer to average on temperatures with maybe some cooler risks, but maybe a drier winter is in the forecast. But again, at this far out, it's kind of speculative, which is why we talk every Friday, right? We keep up on the week-to-week stuff every Friday here.
Hey, speaking of that, how much damage in the Southeast do you think Hurricane Michael did to agricultural commodities?
Yeah, so we're talking here about peanuts, and we're talking about cotton, especially cotton. Remember, Michael came on shore with 155-mile-an-hour winds, and the cotton crop that's down there in parts of southern Alabama, course, the Panhandle of Florida, then getting over into parts of Georgia and South Carolina. That cotton crop was an open bowl, which means we're blowing the cotton off the plant. I've seen some pictures of just some devastation of that crop. And what I'm curious about is to see the ripple effect of that. Will that impact the cotton market enough that maybe Brazil in their safrinha crop will plant more cotton rather than corn? I don't know that just yet, but that's something I'm going to watch. And then what does that mean for our next season, the corn crop, because of what Brazil does with cotton? So I think we need to see that the ripple effect of Hurricane Michael may be long-lasting just because of what it did to one industry down there in the southeast.
Wow. Hey, thanks so much for the insight. I appreciate that. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agribolt.